In our second reading today, St. Paul reminds St. Timothy that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, and admonishes him that all scripture is inspired by God and that he is to proclaim the word and to be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. These beautiful references to sacred scripture that Paul is talking about are, I think, a good chance for us today to reflect a little bit on sacred scripture and its role in our life. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to the rectory the other day. That's always kind of fun. It was nice, though. They came with their Bible, and they said, "We've come to share a word with you." Well, that's great. And they did. And so they had some scripture that they wanted to talk about, and that was all very nice. And then after we were kind of done talking, I looked at their Bible that they were holding, and I asked them what would seem like a very simple question. I simply asked, "So that Bible that you've got there, where did it come from? How do you get it?" And like, "Well, if you mean this is Jehovah's Witness Bible, yeah, so our Bible's a little bit different, but it's still, you know, based on all the earliest traditions and manuscripts." And I'm like, "Okay, fine, but that's not really what I'm getting at. The Bible that you've got, or that I might have, or any Bible, where does it come from? How do we know what's in the Bible and what isn't?" And she kind of looked at me like, "Well, you know, we go back to the earliest text that we've got, and that's how we know." I'm like, "Well, that's really not quite it, though, because sure, there are early texts, but there are other texts that are just as early that are not in the Bible. Like there's the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Thomas, all kinds of other writings that would have been floating around at the time the Bible was put together, and yet those are not in, and these are. How do you know what's in and what's not?" And, you know, she didn't really know how to answer, so I was happy to share with her a little bit of the answer of where we got the Bible. And so I pointed out that, in fact, although there was a codified version of the Old Testament for a while, when Paul talks to Timothy saying that all scripture is inspired by God, well, he can't be talking about the New Testament because it doesn't exist yet. In fact, Paul would have had no clue that he was, in fact, with this letter writing the New Testament. Rather, what I had to point out to this Jehovah's Witness is that, in fact, the Bible that we use today, that all Christians agree, at least on the New Testament, wasn't actually officially declared until Pope Damasus I did so in 382 AD at the urging of St. Athanasius. And then a council of bishops later that year in 382, the Council of Rome, confirmed that list of books. And then again, the Council of Hippo in 393 and Carthage in 397 all made official proclamations of, "This is the canon, the rule of sacred scripture. These books are in, these books are out." So you see, it was really the Catholic Church that had to decide what is in the Bible and what is not. It's always an interesting kind of thought experiment for our Protestant brothers and sisters who would claim that the Bible itself is the sole authority that we need. Well, we don't even have the Bible without some authority outside of it. In fact, sometimes if you ask Protestants, "Why does the Bible have authority?" they'll point to today's scripture. It says right there, "All scripture is inspired by God." Well, that's not possible to be the authoritative text that would give authority to the scripture. Number one, because it's in scripture itself. That's kind of circular. And because half of what we're talking about, the New Testament, wasn't even written, so it can't be referring to that. Rather, to have the Bible, it has to have an authority outside of it that says this is the Bible. This fits very perfectly with what we as Catholics know are the two streams of God's teaching, his revelation. There is, on the one hand, scripture, but there is also what we refer to as sacred tradition. We would say even that the scripture itself is the product of tradition. The tradition is the teaching, the handing on of what Jesus taught by the apostles. Notice that when Jesus ascended to heaven on Ascension Thursday, he did not say to his apostles, "Go out into the whole world, write the good news, create books, publish, give autographed copies to people so they can read about God. In fact, they didn't really write anything for quite some time. They went out and they spoke, they taught, they did as St. Paul says, I handed on to you, in Latin, traditio, tradition. And he tells Timothy, be faithful to the tradition. Some of the tradition, some of the teachings of the apostles was written down. But even as the Gospels tell us, there are many things that are not written here because it would fill far too many books. So we have to see that the authority that Jesus gave to his church is first and foremost. That authority sent the apostles out to teach in the name of Jesus, to proclaim the word, like St. Paul says. Some of that then was written down, and much later in the 4th century, the church finally said, these writings are in, and these are out. If you want to see the importance of this, it's only necessary to look forward then to the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther decided that 7 books of the Bible, he didn't like the theology, and so he kicked them out. Now, what authority does Martin Luther have to take books out of the Bible? That's a good question. The Catholic Church has the authority that comes from Jesus, but Martin Luther took 7 books out of the Old Testament. That's why today, if you sometimes see that a Catholic Bible, the unabridged version, will have 73 books in it, the whole thing, whereas a Protestant Bible will have only 66, or they'll have taken the 7 and maybe they'll put them someplace else called the Apocrypha or something. Well, right there we see how important it is to know what authority you're going to listen to know which books are in and which are out. The key is then that authority that gave us the Bible exists today. The same authority that says these books are in and these are out is still available for us today to tell us what it means. How do we even know what the scriptures mean? You say, well, I'll read it. You know, I'll pray. The Holy Spirit will inspire me. And this is typically what our Protestant brothers and sisters would say. I pray and the Holy Spirit reveals to me what the scriptures mean. Well, the only problem with that is, of course, there are 33,000 different Protestant flavors of Christianity, all who think they read the scripture and it tells them what they mean, and they all disagree with each other. So just sitting down and reading by ourselves, while critically important, is not enough. It is not, as Martin Luther taught, the Bible alone, sola scriptura. Rather, it is the Bible in the context and with the authority that gave rise to it in the first place. The Catholic Church, through the bishops, the successors of the apostles, in union with St. Peter, continue to teach infallibly today, this is what the scriptures mean, this is what they don't mean. And if you just need a further example, consider that my first parish in Topeka, Kansas, was often frequented on Sunday mornings by the Reverend Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church. Okay, now here's someone who has the same Bible, reads the same New Testament we do, and yet he stands outside my church with little signs that say how much God hates this person and that person, and that priests are going to hell, and your priests are lying to you, and all these things, these hateful signs. And I got it from the Bible. I read the Bible, and it tells me, stand in front of Father Sean's church with a sign saying how God hates people. Well, right away we see that cannot be enough then. It cannot be enough simply that I read the Bible and I do what I think it says. We know that if people were to misinterpret wildly the Bible, Pope Francis would stand up and say, that's wrong. There is an authority that has to speak that tells us, no, you're reading it wrong. That is not what it means. So you can't have just the Bible. You need the Bible and the authority. Read the Bible absolutely on our own. Study it, pray about it. God really will speak to us through the sacred scripture. But then make sure that you do what St. Paul did. He went back to the apostles and said, this is what I'm teaching. Is this right? Does this fit with what you're teaching? That is how the sacred tradition has been handed on inerrantly throughout history. So that first question, where we got the Bible, gives us the important answer of how we ought to read the Bible today. But there are two more little words I'd like to share with you when we talk about the scripture. Those are inspiration and inerrancy. Inspiration also talks about where we got the Bible. Inspiration, literally meaning to breathe into, says that the sacred authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. They were true authors who wrote, but they did not simply write as human beings. It was not simply them writing down and thinking, I know what I'll do, I'll create sacred scripture. Nobody thought that. Rather, we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, inspired, breathed into them the teaching that he wanted for his church. So, are the authors human? Yes. God did not take over them. It's not as though God forced their hand to move and spoke in their ear and said, now write this. No, you forgot to cross the T. God did not do that. But he did inspire them to write everything that he wanted. So we know that the Bible contains everything that God intended for our salvation. This is the teaching of the Second Vatican Council and the great document Dei Verbum. Scripture contains everything that is inspired and necessary for our salvation. Inspiration. True human authors acting under the influence of the Holy Spirit, such that God himself is the author of sacred scripture. Thus, when we read it, we hear God speak to us. So, inspiration. And then another word, inerrancy. You could kind of hear without error. It means that there are no mistakes in sacred scripture. There are no contradictions in sacred scripture such that one is false and one is true. Here's the key. The scripture is completely inerrant and true in the way that the sacred author intended us to interpret it. In the way that the author intended. So here's an example. For instance, you could say that, well, the scripture says that the sun rises and the sun sets. Well, a scientist might say that, see, the Bible is wrong. The sun does not rise and set. The earth rotates and it just looks like the sun rises and sets. So the Bible is wrong. It's not what we mean by inerrant. It's the way that the author intended it to be read. The author intended us to interpret a sunrise and a sunset exactly like we do today, who, despite all of our knowledge, did not say, wasn't that beautiful this morning, the way the earth rotated towards the east? I really enjoyed that. It revealed the sun little by little through the rotation of the earth. That was so beautiful. We don't say that. We say the sun rose, even though we know the truth, because you and I understand what we mean. It's the same way with the sacred authors in the sacred text. We have to hear it in the way that they said it. And that is, again, why we need the authority of the church. Sometimes the Bible gets a bad rap because people will say, look at all these contradictions. See, the Bible says this here and it says that there. You can't trust the Bible because there's all these mistakes, all these inaccuracies. That is not true. It would be heresy, actually. The church teaches the inerrancy of sacred scripture. That means if there is an apparent contradiction, it just means that we have more work to do. We have to find out, what did the author mean? Sometimes it's even cleared up by looking at the original text, the original Greek or Hebrew. I had this the other day. I was really confused by a passage of scripture, and I had to go back to the Greek and say, ah, that word doesn't necessarily have to be translated that way. If you translate it this way, now it makes more sense. So what we know is that we can trust the Bible. It does not contain error. It is the teaching of God for our salvation. But to understand, again, the way in which it is inerrant, the way that it's inspired, we need the church. We need the authority to help us. So today, as we hear St. Paul remind Timothy about the importance of sacred scripture, you know, probably for a lot of us, it's true. We too have known from infancy the sacred scriptures. We hear so much of it at Mass. Isn't it beautiful that we have all this scripture for us? Sometimes, you know, we feel a little embarrassed that maybe Catholics don't know our Bible very well because our Protestant brothers and sisters will come up to us and, you know, start talking and they'll talk about, well, you know, as it says in St. Paul, chapter 7, port 5, port subpoint 8, number 7. And we're like, oh, wow, I'm way outgunned. I don't know subpoint 7 of number 8 of St. Paul. Yeah, we don't have to know chapter and verse and be able to quote like that. But you'd be surprised, I think, how well we Catholics know our scripture. Think about all the scripture we just read this morning. I would encourage you, though, our Protestant brothers and sisters, I think, in total, they love the sacred page. They'll study it. They know it's the Word of God, and they rely on that. I think we've got to become much more in love with the sacred scripture. It's not enough just for us to sit in Mass and hear it. How many of you could even remember what the first reading was about? Or the Gospel, since I didn't preach on it? Some of you are checking the missile right now, I see. Okay, what we got to do is before we come to Mass, during the week, wouldn't it be great if, as a family, you were to study the readings? Maybe find out, man, that sounds hard. What does that even mean? What's it talking about? And so maybe you Google it. Maybe you grab a Bible commentary. Maybe you call up a friend. Maybe you get together a little group and you talk about it. Wouldn't it be great if we studied the scripture outside of Mass so that when we heard it in Mass, it's not the first time that we can just truly hear God speaking to us? I know in my family growing up, we had the family Bible. This was like the Bible that my parents got on the day they were married. The family Bible was not to be touched because it's too important. So it sat there. The only time we opened the family Bible was to record when somebody died because there happened to be a little genealogy in there. I would encourage you, open up the family Bible. Grab the readings. Do some homework. Fall in love with the sacred page. Allow Jesus to speak to you. That's what the sacred text is really all about. Do we need the church? Do we need the tradition? Absolutely. But we Catholics so easily fall into the fact of, well, I go to Mass. I go to Mass. I hear the scripture. I've got it. As one of my seminary professors told me, never go to sleep without your eyes at least touching some of the sacred page. Read something each day, even if it's just the daily readings. This is the Word of God. We do have to hear St. Paul reminding us. It's inspired by God. It's useful for teaching, refutation, correction, for training in righteousness. It is most definitely necessary for our salvation. So today, whatever role the sacred scripture plays in your life, maybe we could take another look at it. Maybe the witness of these Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my door is actually a pretty good example for us. They came to share a word with me. I pray that we might all share more fully in this word than we might do as Paul charges Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. Proclaim the word. And how can we proclaim that word unless we ourselves read it, fall in love with it, and make it our lives? May that be your charge too. Proclaim the word. All scripture is inspired by God. May we fall more deeply in love with that sacred word, the word of God, that is the sacred scripture.